Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Oddcast, the podcast, or A World Empowered Dialogues. Here at A World Empowered, we have a philanthropic vision. We have a vision of the world where all women, men, and children are empowered. Empowered to speak their truth, empowered to be themselves, empowered to provide for their needs, and protect and heal the environment. Every week, we bring in inspiring guests and thought leaders, founders of nonprofits around the globe, to share a message of hope and to inoculate people with the belief that they can make a difference. To share their stories of struggle and trauma and where they've come from and what they've decided to create and contribute to the world. We're adults here, having adult conversations, so often there's adult language involved, but we want to thank you for being a part of this and for sharing the message and for tuning in. So get ready for another inspiring conversation with another thought leader and get ready to get odd.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Oddcast, the podcast. I apologize for the technical difficulties. These are brand new mics, and apparently I had the wrong setting tested. Today, I get to sit down with one of my dearest friends and one of the people I love and hold in highest esteem on the entire planet, my good friend, Misty Dawkins. I love Misty not because she's directly responsible for several hundred book sales. I love Misty not because she's directly responsible for multiple speaking engagements. I love Misty because she has a unique ability to really bare her soul. And when she connects with somebody, she does everything in her power to promote and facilitate that. I've never met anybody quite as good at her as her at what she does and her authenticity. And I love you so much. And I'm very excited to have this conversation. Misty Dawkins is the founder and owner of Windsor Lifestyle Magazine. And I would like her to introduce herself and say a few words about what she does.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Brian.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, we met. Well, I think you're going to tell people how we met. Yes, my name is Misty Dawkins. In the last year, I have became the owner of Windsor City Lifestyle. It's been the hardest but most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. And now I get to bring all my talents to what I do. So like connecting people is a gift. It's a superpower that I've had since I can remember. It gives me no bigger joy than looking into a room or talking to somebody or conversing with somebody and saying, oh my gosh, Susie needs to meet Brian, whatever that looks like for me. I love connecting people, and it's something that I just very much enjoy doing. And when we met, you were on a stage. I was watching you. You were reading this book. I should have brought it. I have it. I have two copies. And I was like, A, I need to know you. And B, how many copies are we going to sell today? And see how many people can I get in front of. His book touched me, still touches me, and we can talk about that on another time or today.
That's whatever. Not what we're here for.
Okay.
I appreciate you being the consummate promoter that you are. Today is about you and sharing the gifts that you have to offer, what makes Misty Dawkins unique. So again, I appreciate your effort to promote me as you always do, but today I have the esteemed pleasure to share you with the world, to help broadcast Misty Dawkins and what makes you special and unique. So where did this gift of yours develop? Like, what makes you so special?
Well, I think that I grew up as an only child. It was just me and mom growing up. And just having the ability of seeing other people's superpowers, I call them superpowers, and being able to tap into other people's gifts has always been a gift of mine. And it's much easier for me to promote others. By the way, this is my first podcast. So it's much easier for me to see other people. And I think that's normal for most people. Mm-hmm. It's hard to look in the mirror and be like, I'm amazing. I'm da 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 da.
It's normal for healthy, well-adjusted.
I know
some people that are all about self-promotion.
Yeah.
But they're on that far end of the spectrum.
Yeah. So just being able to see somebody's gifts, and I should do this more often. I used to go around and ask people, like, tell me three amazing things about yourself. And it always amazes me on how many people go silent. And if you can't, like, say three good things about you, oh my gosh.
That's, like, some inner work to do.
Yeah, some inner work to do. And not to say that it comes easy for me, but I really actually like who I am and what I have, what I bring to the table. And I don't mind sitting at the table by myself either. So I enjoy, even though most people know me as this very outgoing, which I very much am. And
you are a super extrovert.
Networker. But there's this other piece of me that likes to be alone and read my books and be alone with my thoughts. So, yeah, that's.
So you've always just kind of had this gift of connecting with people and helping to promote them. Like, how far back did it go? Kindergarten, earliest memories?
I remember, you know, you're making me think here, but I remember, like, just having girlfriends that would be like, I like so-and-so, but I'm too scared to go over and talk to him. I'd be like, yo, Robbie, get over here. You need to meet Susie over here. And, you know, like, even just like those kind of connections. Of, and fun story is I love to matchmake. And I've been fairly good with it over the years.
I've heard.
And I've been into some weddings and all the things. But even just those kind of connections. So not just in business, but personally bringing people together. Yeah, I guess it's been a gift for since I can remember.
Do you know where it stems from? Because I don't think that most people have that ability.
Gosh.
What is it? Let me rephrase. What is it that you feel people might be missing if they aspire to develop deeper connections? Because one of the main topics of today's podcast today is empowering life connections. We'll get into the time thing in a bit, but if somebody has ambition or desire to have deeper connections in their lives, what is it you think that some people might be lacking, or some places where they might be able to grow or expand that would facilitate them to get to the level that you're at with, you know, your ability to connect with people?
Yeah, well, I think, great question. And most of the time, people get into their own way.
How so?
Most of the time, people are like, oh, that's for other people.
Okay.
That's not for me. Like, I have these aspirations, but I could never make those aspirations happen. And I feel like it's my ability to be like, wait a second, ask for what you want.
Sure.
Don't put any stipulations on what you truly want. So I have a friend that just went through a major competition. And I don't want to get to, because I didn't get her permission to share the story, but she went into a major competition just recently, and she needed to do some fundraising for it. And when she went into this meeting that a couple of us helped set up for her, she was asking for something small. And I told her, I said, what do you really
Dream
want?
Bigger.
Dream bigger. Like, what does this really look like for you? Okay. And before we left that day, she got exactly what she wanted.
Naturally.
Sometimes it's just the ability to ask. And so many people are so hold themselves back to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, love you dearly, Corey, but man, that guy can't ask for help. And the thing about it is he would help anybody. Somebody would call him and
bend over backwards in the middle of the night to help.
And he's an amazing human. And he does not have the ability to help. I am so proud of him, though. He's actually helping. We are finishing our basement, and he actually asked some friends to help us out this
nice.
Weekend. And they, of course, all said yes, because I'm like, Corey, you're amazing.
You're always there for everybody.
Exactly. So a little shout out to him.
What I'm gleaning is maybe an imperceptible self-limiting belief in deserving is what often keeps people from developing deeper connections and life connections like that.
Yeah,
like they don't feel they deserve to have people in their lives. They don't feel like they're worthy of deep friendships and loving connections, or what is it?
Well, you just actually hit something that, and This is not rehearsed, obviously.
This is all impromptu, shooting for the hip.
You just hit something. I think one of the, I haven't always been this person. I was not confident person. I had been told, you're never going to make anything of yourself. You're probably going to be pregnant in high school. You're going to be 2, 3, 4 husbands in. You'll have multiple children from multiple men. You know, you're dumb. You know, those
you
kind
some
of things.
Shitty and friends
they,
growing up.
Actually, they weren't friends.
even worse. Family.
One of the abilities that I've had is always surrounding myself with good people. Some of the people when you're growing up, you don't get to choose to have in your life.
Right.
So, but all that being said, I came out of it because of the people that I surround myself with, even at a young age. And having that ability of being like, Misty, that's not true. And therapy and counseling and, you know, important things. But my point being is me going through that, me not always seeing what my gifts were. In fact, I didn't probably see my gifts until my 20s and have really developed into my 30s and 40s and now 50s to become the person that I am today. So, growing up with some yucky, but like I say, I'm going to write a book someday that's getting into the yucky, getting into the icky, because it's really important to get into that icky place.
And you need to bring light to the darkness or it'll just fester.
100%. And that's not fun. It's not a fun place to be, but it's important if you're going to get to the top.
But even choosing to elevate your social network, like choosing to surround yourself with higher caliber people, starts with a baseline belief that you're not getting what you deserve, that the people that are around you are keeping you down, like the crabs in the bucket mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, you at least had that baseline belief even early on that, you know, these people are just dragging me down. They're filling my mental factory full of negative toxic crap. Mm. And it's bringing me down and making me feel worse about who I am. And so even at a young age, you have some level of belief that you deserve to surround yourself with higher caliber people.
And I definitely have noticed, like, I love to help people see their worth and their value. Do we have some fun comments?
Corey and Michaela are watching.
Oh, hi, Corey and Michaela. They may be the only two watching, and that's okay.
On Facebook, it appears like we have a few, and I don't really know who's on YouTube right now.
So. Okay, very cool. This is my first time, so I'm just, and welcome to my home.
Thank you for inviting us in. So we were talking about that level of belief in choosing who you surround yourself with. Imagine somebody who currently is deficient in that area. What advice would you have to help them boost that, take that first step forward right now? Mm-hmm. Whether you're talking to a high school kid or somebody in their late 50s, you know, who's surrounded themselves with toxic, negative energy, draining vampires their whole lives, what would be that first piece of advice that you would give somebody?
Yeah, we've already touched upon it. Surrounding yourself with solid humans, all the way from teachers to friends to when you go to networking groups. It's so easy. I mean, I'm going to go to networking because it's another thing that
you're an expert.
Superpower. I just actually did a talk on networking, and one of the things that I'll say about networking is go in with intention.
Okay.
I'm going to go and approach 5 people that I don't even know, and we're going to set up a coffee date.
You just gave me anxiety.
Yeah. And
I do like myself, and I do believe I have value and offer and surround myself with wonderful people, and that gave me chills.
Yeah, just to walk in and like talk to a stranger.
Yeah, not me.
Really?
Nope.
That shocks me. Because you were easy to talk to when I met you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later.
We'll do a little therapy session after our podcast.
Yeah, so when you go into any situation, there should be a little bit of intention there.
Okay.
Expect the unexpected. But when you go into networking groups, especially when there are 30, 40, 50, 100 people in there,
right,
and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Do I go get a drink? Do I go get food? I'm just going to sit in the corner and just watch, right? Because that's comfortable. But if you go in with a couple of things that are on your agenda, it makes it so much easier.
Especially if it's a small step. Mm-hmm. If you're starting off with that baseline of, I don't like meeting new people and I'm shy and I don't really have much to say.
Yeah.
If you have a small step of, I'm going to talk to one person, get their name and business card and find out what they do.
Right.
Then you can build on that. But don't start off with, I'm going to go to this networking group and I'm going to get 15 business cards and I'm going to meet and set up 15 coffee dates and blah, blah, blah. Like Misty always does. but if you're an ambivert or an introvert, you can start with something small and just be like, I'm going to get one person's name, card, contact, and figure out what it is that they do for a living and what makes them tick. And then you can grow on that. You can build your competence from there.
Well, and I think the other thing is, I mean, if it's a true, like for yourself, when you're just like going in by yourself, have a wing person.
That helps.
Like have a wing person. However, that wing person needs to be a wing person that's not going to put you in the corner.
You need to get Misty as your wing person. Have you met Misty?
I mean, honestly, like make sure that wing person is going to be a good wing person. Like that person's not going to just be in the corner with you and you're just the two of you are at this networking group and nobody knows you. Have that networking person, if they need to be the one that has the intention of getting you in front of two people.
Right.
Whatever that is, it needs to be a positive wing person, just somebody that's going to go and have cocktails with you in the corner.
Or steal the light too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have the wrong wing person and the intent is that they'll introduce you and you'll network and get outside your comfort zone and grow your connections. But the wing person is so bright and vibrant that, they end up taking all of the conversation and you end up in the shadow of that wing person. So
yeah,
matters too.
That does matter. So it's got to be somebody that you jive with, that you're going to play off of each other. That's what a good wing person does.
And you have similar goals, like set the objectives together.
Yes.
Going back to the belief part and building your esteem. I think one of the most valuable things that a person can do is build their belief in what they have to offer, and if somebody's starting off baseline, I'm worthless, I have nothing to offer, then maybe it can be finding a volunteer opportunity or just trying to make a stranger smile or something, to build your belief that you deserve to be around a higher caliber a social network. We have to believe that we have something of value to offer, that we have a quality and ability, a gift that's unique to us. That we have something that's special that we can bring to the world. Otherwise, we won't ever feel like we deserve to be around better people or that we deserve to get what we want and have our dreams come true.
Well, I think that all of it, I mean, you hit a great point in the fact of being able to, I mean, have you ever had a stranger come and give you a compliment that you weren't expecting? You were having a crappy day and all of a sudden somebody's like, you've got a gorgeous smile, or just anything to, like, it makes you feel so good. Or getting a note from somebody that you weren't expecting, a letter in the mail back in the day. Remember when we used to get letters?
Now we just actual text. Letters.
But honestly, like, just like thinking outside the box of how can I make this person feel better, because the truth is if when we make other people feel good, I just read The Go-Giver. I'm going to talk about The Go-Giver. If you've seen me in the last 2 weeks, you probably know about The Go-Giver. The Go-Giver is something that was gifted to me on my 40th birthday. Okay. So that's a little over 10 years ago, with my friend Michelle. She gifted that book to me and I've literally read it every year.
For the last decade.
And what it is it is, so have you ever been told he's such a go-getter? And it means a compliment. However, a go-getter is get.
Usually at the expense or taking from others, often.
A go-giver is somebody that gives without even thinking about it. I got the biggest compliment from a dear friend, Debbie Waynes. Hi, Debbie, if you're watching. a couple of weeks ago, she said she didn't know the story. And she said, have you ever read The Go-Giver? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite books. And I hadn't read it this year. And she goes, that book reminds me of you. And she doesn't know this, but like, I got like super emotional. That's like a huge compliment. Because if you have, again, if you haven't read it, it is just, it really is as simple as giving. And I love to give. Like, I like to give my time and to people. The one thing that I will say though, is I will give until I'm blue in the face. However, if the person cannot get out of the victim mentality, I just can't.
Yeah.
I can tell you where the water is. I can't make you drink it. So I will give until I just am like, oh, this person's not in that space. I wish them all. I hope they find it somewhere else. I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, for me, it's often, you know, I'll meet you halfway. I'm willing to work as hard as you are towards what you want, but I'm not willing to work harder than you are towards what you want.
Right. Agreed. Agreed.
That's a really good boundary to maintain. Because like you said, if someone's stuck in the victim mentality and genuinely all they want to do is complain about their situation because they've wrapped their identity around it and they don't actually want the situation to change, there's no use. Because our time and our energy is finite. Unless you want to get into the metaphysical part of it, our time and our energy is finite, and we need to be very fastidious about where we allocate.
Those are some big words, Brian.
I try.
Should we get a dictionary?
We could. We have a few people watching.
Who do we got?
We have Betsy and Michaela and Corey and a few others that I can't see at
That's
the moment.
Okay.
We have to be very fastidious about where we allocate our time and our energy. And if people aren't willing to meet us halfway, like that, what is it, a Travis Tritt song? You know, I'll start walking your way, you start walking mine. We'll meet in the middle beneath that old Georgia pine.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to bust my ass and help you achieve your dreams, but I'm not willing to work harder for your dream than you're willing to work for your own.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the Go-Giver.
I'm not going to do the work for you, but the Go-Giver, one of my top five books.
What is it about that book that resonates so much for you?
I think I already just said it, like just giving to the people that truly need it. First of all, appreciate it.
Lots of people need it.
Yeah, that's true. Appreciate's a better word. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I don't want to give away a bunch of the book, but there's five rules in it. I wish I knew them by heart. I don't. I should have brought the book too. I should have just brought all my books. We could have just talked about books.
Read it every year.
I know,
for a decade. You don't have it memorized. You've embodied it, but you haven't memorized it. That's a good thing though.
Yeah.
It's better to have actual wisdom than theoretical.
Well, I'm glad that you see it that way. I will be. One thing that I do struggle with is retaining information. So something that I've struggled with always. So but the book is amazing.
What is it that is so important about giving? Why is that? Why does that have such a profound impact on a person?
I feel like, so I get asked all the time, Misty, you're always so positive. You're always so happy, which it truly isn't true. I mean, I have my moments.
You have down days?
I do have
down
days.
You wake up sad
sometimes?
Oh, bullshit.
For real, it happens. However, I will say that what we focus on grows. Mm-hmm. And I always try to see the better in people and things and situations. And not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I truly do believe when you give, you do get. Mm-hmm. So the go-getter is not a negative. It's just, it naturally happens. Because what you do focus on does grow.
For sure.
And if you're going to focus on the crap's going to happen.
Where attention goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, all things grow. So you got to be careful of what you're putting your attention on.
Absolutely. And I just have believed that for a very long time. And just setting your day with intention, I'll mention Debbie again. Debbie starts her day off with gratitude every single day, the most persistent, consistent person I know in my whole entire life. And when you start your day off in a positive way, if that's meditation, if that's the Bible, if whatever it is for you, it makes a huge impact. So haven't done it in a while. I used to start my day off with a podcast called Quote of the Day. And it truly is. It's only anywhere from about 9 at the very most 15 minutes. And it is motivational speaking.
Okay.
Different clips of all different kinds of speakers, men, women, old, young, new, whatever. And it is a great way to start your day. In fact, I should start doing it before I put that on our list.
Don't should on yourself.
You know, one of my
favorite quotes is from Jim Rohn, and he said, "The quality of our life is determined by the ingredients we pour into our mental factory." You know, and it goes back to what you're speaking on now, and being very careful and fastidious about what it is that we're putting into our brain, not mm-hmm. spending too much time, you know, watching negative news and mm-hmm. hanging out with negative people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you start your day with a 15-minute podcast that's pouring positivity into your life, or, you know, 15 minutes of silent meditation, focusing on gratitude or something like that, you know, that's the state that you'll embody. And that's the ingredient that you'll pour into your mental factory.
Yeah.
And that's the quality of life that you'll get. I think one of the things that's really important to touch on, though, it can't be a ploy. When we're talking about the go-giver and having a giving mindset, you know, trying to offer and help others, there can't be ulterior motives. That's one of the things that I love so much about you, is that you give without any expectation or even aspiration that it'll come back around. You genuinely just want to help. And I'm a super empath. Like, I can tell where a person is at energetically and emotionally. You can tell when somebody has an ulterior motive, that they're giving and they're moving that abacus over, they're keeping score. You're like, "Yeah, I just did you this favor. Remember, because there'll come a time when I'll make you an offer you can't refuse," or something, you know. Yeah. And you know that they're keeping score. And it's really important to have that giving mindset, but to also do it from a genuine place of, "I just want to be of value."
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on that? Have you spent time with or been around people that you felt had ulterior motives by their giving?
Oh, sure. I think we all have. But I'm of the belief that when I grow, everybody grows. I want everybody to grow around me. Like, if somebody has an aspiration, don't tell your aspirations around me, because I will be like, "Okay, what's up?
She'll make them come true whether you want them or not." You better be ready. It's one of those, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I mean, it, and things like that have happened to me too. You surround yourself with those kind of people and they're like, let's make this happen. I mean, being an owner of a publication, I did not see that vision, was not in my wheelhouse. And it took a friend to say, "Hey, why not you?
Yeah, why aren't you doing this?"
And I was like, "You're cray cray.
This was like made for you."
Yeah. And I had no idea. Like, mm. And it's been wonderful, but allergies, excuse me. Yeah, but it is, it's like, I truly believe that when you rise, we all rise. And I like surrounding myself with people that want to be better, do better, see better. And I very much do that. Like, I, whatever that may be, if that's opening a business, if that's starting a volunteer, like hearing, I just had a conversation with a girl a couple of days ago, and she's like, "I really want to get into the community and understand the community more. And I have this love for children." And I was like, "Have you heard of Life Stories? Have you heard this?" Like, we went into some nonprofits that really need help and that are searching for board members. And she was like, "Oh my gosh." So I connected her with, you know, somebody. I don't know where it's gone so far, but my point being is, why don't we want to help each other? It's, I can't take any of this with me. So why not share our powers and our goodness to whoever that is willing to do it, to be a part of it, I guess.
100%. And, you know, it becomes addictive. The feeling of value that enlivens our spirit, that we get, the sense that we get when we actually make a difference in somebody's life, is really addictive. There's nothing quite like it when somebody comes back and says, you know, that thing that you did for me, it meant the world to me. And you went above and beyond and it changed my life. And that's really addictive. There was something that I wanted to touch on and I totally just lost track. Son of a bitch. What were you going to say?
Well, I was actually going to just say, like, being able to help others is definitely something that I love to cheerlead and I love to help. And we were going to touch upon this. I don't know if I'm, you know, digging in somewhere that you were setting up, but time, like, I think people are always saying, you know, I don't have enough time. Yeah. And the one thing that I didn't get permission to say a lot of people's names, so that's why I'm not saying a lot of names. But again, had a conversation with somebody. He is interested. He got asked to be a coach. And I was like, and he was like, but I think I'm just going to wait till next year. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I need a little bit more experience. I'm like, dude, these people want you. You're amazing. The children love you. Take this opportunity. And it's about that, like, we need to take it when it's in front of us. And if you wait for the right time, it's probably not going to happen. Because what's the right time? When is that, right? It's just like, I'm not going to get married or we're not going to have kids until we have this, this, and this. Well, it just never works out like that.
If you wait till things are perfect. One of my other favorite quotes is, you have to take advantage of an opportunity of a lifetime within the lifetime of that opportunity.
Ooh, write that down.
Somebody in chat. You have to take advantage of an opportunity of a lifetime within the lifetime of that opportunity.
You're one of those people that can retain so much. I wish that I was that person.
I'm an audio learner. Yeah. So when I hear something, it kind of just burrows in and sticks.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did want to touch on, because we were talking about not really understanding why more people don't get out and volunteer or try to make a difference in people's lives or do that. I mean, going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like right now, especially in this day and age, a lot of people are just trying to keep their nose above water. And when your cup is topped off and you don't feel like your needs are being taken care of, you don't feel like you have the energy, it's really hard to get out there and give to somebody what you don't even feel like you have.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand where a lot of people are coming from, that they don't feel like they have the time, they don't feel like they have the funding, they don't feel a lot of things, because there is a sense of lack for a lot of people right now. A lot of people are struggling. So it makes sense. I would encourage somebody, even if you have nothing, make a goal to make somebody smile. Somebody that you don't know, make somebody smile. Mm-hmm. Could be driving through traffic because it's sitting at a stoplight.
He's
and
silly.
Just be like, I just wave and smile. And that could change somebody's entire day. Like we talk about the butterfly effect. You know, imagine you pull up to a stoplight, there's a car next to you and somebody's just like on the edge of their seat and you can tell, and you look over and you wave, you're like, hi, how are you?
They may punch you. Want to punch you.
They may want to, but they also may smile. And we don't know what's going on in that the life of that person. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they just got fired. Maybe they just got bad news. If they carried that all the way home, maybe they have a wife. Maybe they have a husband. Maybe they have kids. And they carry that frustration, that anger or angst or whatever they're dealing with in that moment all the way home. But you pull up to them and you're like, hi, have a good day, bye. Yeah. And you make them smile and you take them out of that Mobius strip ruminating on whatever's going on in their life for a couple seconds. And maybe they go home and they're like, maybe I won't kick the dog. Maybe I won't yell at my spouse. You press that pressure release valve and you just let some of that out. And, you know, the ripple effects that one little hi could have on somebody's life can really make a massive difference in society. So
I think you hit something.
Begin where you are.
I think that goes to the metaphor is like when you're looking at stairs, right? And you're looking at the very top stair and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to get to that top stair? And if you can just take one step at a time instead of looking at the big picture, that's where just one breath, one smile, one thank you. And then it's like, you know, and that's anything in life. If it's working out, if it's more of a positive attitude, a different job, you know, whatever it may be, just don't look at all the pieces that you need. Just look at one simple step after simple step after simple step. Another book, The Slight Edge.
It talks
about that and the compound effect. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, like saving money, right? Like you're like, oh, it's not going to make a difference for a long time. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, $5 and $5 and then 10 and then 20 and then 30. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy
moly.
Where
did this come from?
Yeah. And again, it's just those, try not to get overwhelmed with the big picture and just take that one step at a time.
Not to mention the effects that it has on our self-esteem. You know, the intangible value that we can draw from this and what that actually does to how we feel about ourselves, whether it's doing 3 push-ups when you didn't think that you wanted to or didn't think that you could, or, you know, running from your corner to the stop sign when whatever, you know, just teaching yourself that you can do something hard, that you can push through when you don't want to do something, when you can save that dollar and put that in the jar for next month, like the compound effect, you know, the esteem that you build from taking that first step and then the next step and how that grows with compounded interest. It's not just the monetary gain or the social network that you grow. It's mm-hmm. the self-belief and how you feel.
Well, and also like giving yourself grace when it doesn't work out the way that you think it's going to.
For sure.
Being able to be like, you know what? I had a crappy day today and I'm okay, which is sitting on my couch. I'm not going to feel guilty about it, with a blanket and some ice cream. And as long as you don't stay there.
Yeah.
That's where it gets. And that's where you have to be like, who are my people that I can reach out to? Another conversation I had a couple of days ago is somebody that's having a little bit of a hard time and saying, hey, every once in a while, check on me. Mm-hmm. You know, to have enough courage to ask for that, that's strong. Because again, people have a hard time asking for help. And if you can just be like, you know what, Brian, I've been having a hard year. And can you just check on me every once in a while? First of all, that's going to make you feel
that's
like
a huge gift.
Ooh.
Like, and then I can do something.
Yeah,
help.
Like,
if and it matters.
Like, that could be a quick text, a quick call, a quick, hey, let's go grab a coffee. We don't even have to talk about anything. I'm just here. Yep. Like, that's huge.
Asking somebody else for help is really a huge gift to that other person because it gives them the opportunity to build value in their own mind, to know that they have something that they can offer to make somebody else's life better. That is asking somebody for help and not being needy or a constant taker. Like, you need to make sure that there's balance, that there's reciprocity in your life, especially when you're talking about relationships with people you care about. But when you ask somebody for assistance, help, or whatever, or just check in on me and make sure that things are okay, you're giving them the opportunity of a gift to build their self-esteem and know that they have something that can make a difference.
Absolutely.
It's huge.
Ooh, somebody's got some words over there.
Betsy, would you like to read Betsy's favorite Denzel Washington quote?
I love me some Betsy.
We all do. Hi, Betsy.
And her hubby and her beautiful girls. One of my favorites by Denzel Washington. The most selfish thing you can do in this world is help someone else, because the gratification, the goodness that comes to you, the good feeling from helping others, nothing is better than that. Not jewelry, not the big house, not the cars. It's the joy. That's where the joy is, in helping others. That's where the success is. Betsy, we love you so, so much. I love that quote, and I love me some Denzel Washington too.
So going back to I'd like to put a bow on the building life connections parts of this podcast. We all know how important relationships are. They make us happy. They actually increase our lifespan. Mm-hmm. You know, having healthy, quality relationships is really indicative of how long somebody's going to live. Mm-hmm. What would be one piece of advice that you would give to somebody that aspires to have higher quality or better relationships in their life?
Listen to your intuition. Mm. Your intuition is strong. People dismiss their intuition all the time. Listen to the voices when they're talking to you. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. Mm. My intuition I've tapped into over the years, and when I don't listen to my intuition, all hell breaks loose.
It goes horribly wrong.
Yep. Listen to your gut, your intuition, whatever it may be, and it will lead you in the right direction every single time.
And having the courage to follow through with that intuitive knowing, even when it feels uncomfortable. In every bad situation that I've ever had in my life, when I rewind, I can go back and honestly acknowledge that there was a moment where I ignored and overrode my intuition. And all of the wonderful things in my life was when I stepped out of the comfort zone and I followed through on that intuition, that intuitive knowing, despite how terrifying it was in the moment.
Well, you just hit on, and understanding the difference between this is uncomfortable, but it's going to get me to a good spot, to this isn't right, this is going to get me to the wrong spot. Because it can be very close in the fact of uncomfortable, bad decision. Mm-hmm. So knowing the difference is strong.
In the cases such as those, try to give yourself as much time to make that decision as possible, and try to give yourself as much space as you can to make that decision. That means like sitting with it and being still and being mm-hmm. quiet, asking for guidance and meditating, whatever that looks like for you, but give yourself time and give yourself space so that you really can discern. You know, like when I, you know about when I went backpacking and I spent that year traveling, mm-hmm. Leading up to that excursion, that voyage, I lived for a year out of a backpack traveling through third world countries. Mm-hmm. But in the month leading up to that, there was so much terror. And what it was ultimately, when I sat with it and I got still and I prayed and I meditated and gave myself space to make the decision, what I realized was the fear that was coming up was ego trying to talk me out of it, because it knew that the growth that I would receive through that experience mm-hmm. would make the ego superfluous. And so give yourself time, give yourself space, try as hard as you can to make sure that you have the room to make that decision. So you can discern what is intuition, what is ego, and what is that knowing, you know, is this a bad decision mm-hmm. that I need not walk down that alley? I need not start this relationship? Or is it your intuitive knowing or your ego and giving yourself that? How do you do those two things feel differently to you? Like when you're discerning the difference between ego and intuition or whatever it is, how do you discern which is which?
Yeah, well, ego can, oof. Ego is strong. And I am guilty of falling into my ego, in fact.
We all are.
Oh,
we're human yeah. still.
And it is a good thing to be like, check the ego. Like we've heard that, you know, metaphor. And it truly is like, am I doing this ego, or am I doing this because it truly is the right thing to do?
Right.
So
do they feel different in your body?
Yes.
How do you make that decision?
I would say ego is more of like, I'm going to prove this. Like, it's more of like a, oh man, what word do I want to say? Like it revs up, right?
Okay.
Intuition is more of like, this feels good. Okay. Like it's almost like you set back. Ego's like you go up forward. Like, it's you're like ready to battle, right? Is that a good? And then intuition is just like, if somebody asks you to do something, you truly are just like, this feels good,
like a warm bath.
Yeah, like it feels natural. It feels good. It feels feels like the right place to be.
Often ego isn't just the thing that drives us forward. Sometimes ego is the thing that keeps us repressed. You know, oftentimes it is actually ego that keeps us stuck in the corner at a networking group, or keeps us stuck from asking that pretty girl or that handsome guy for his number at the bar or whatever. It, oftentimes the ego actually squashes us down. The ego isn't just always that I'm better than that, or the arrogance or assertiveness that is often associated with the egoic action. It's often the thing that keeps us repressed and stifles us from our growth too.
Yeah.
So for you, do they reside in different places in your body? How do you tell the difference? Or is it just when you sit with it long enough, you just know?
Well, I think the older I get, the more that I try to set with when I get asked, because I get asked to do a lot of things. And instead of just yes, no, I do, as you said, set with it and see how it feels. And if it's, and asking some questions about, am I doing this because I really want to do this? Or do I feel like I have to do this, or I need to do this? Like certain questions that you ask yourself about the situation.
Sure.
So hopefully that answers
the question. Yeah, that's just part of the giving yourself space and time to make the decision. Mm-hmm. I do want to get into the time part of this conversation, because it's one of the things that I'm incredibly passionate about.
Time is valuable.
It's not only valuable, but we have this tug of war between, we need to take advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime within the lifetime of that opportunity. We also have to remove ourselves from our attachment and expectation to outcome. Because when I look at bringing my book to the world is a really great example. If I had an attachment to outcome and an expectation of the timeline of when that would happen, I never would have made that book. Or if I did, it would have turned out like a piece of crap. Like I would have gone with the first artist, it would have been abysmal. Mm. And if I was so attached to the outcome and the timeline that I wanted, it wouldn't have turned out the way that it ended up being. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to time, what are some of your philosophies? Let's talk about trusting the perfect timing of things.
Well, I mean, time is, again, very, very valuable. And so, again, we'll just go back to when my friend talking about Windsor City lifestyle. Just go to that.
Yep.
Loved what I was doing. I was with the Greeley Chamber. Loved it. Three questions she asked me the day that all of this came about.
Okay.
She asked me three questions. She goes, I know you love what you do. If you could change anything about what you do, what would that look like? Well, me not knowing what the outcome was going to be, I said, I want to be a pillar in my community and surrounding areas. I want to be my own boss. I want to make my own rules. and I want to make some real money. I want to contribute to my little family, which is me and Corey. It's just the two of us. She said, what if I can make all that happen? And then she said, Windsor City Lifestyle has been looking for a publisher for the last 2 years. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
But it was the timing. If she would have asked me that 6 months prior to that, or before I knew Corey, it was all about like, I want to hear more. 5 days later, I was in assigned ownership of a publication. I do believe that, again, I listened to my intuition. I sat with it. Mm-hmm. I, of course, discussed it with my husband. Because you don't make big decisions like that without the other.
It doesn't go well for a relationship.
Yeah. Thankfully, he was on board before I was on board, which is very unusual. He's an overthinker. I make pretty quick decisions. I'm very black and white. He's a lot of gray.
Okay.
I guess that's why we balance each other out. So it just goes back to timing. Like, it was the perfect timing. I saw that it was the perfect timing. And I went with it.
Okay.
And so it just goes back to everything that we've already talked about. This listening, understanding, the timing, I guess I'm jumbling my words, but time is precious. And I knew that this was something that I had to take, that I knew that I could do something super special. And even though it was very, very hard, still is sometimes, it is one of the best decisions I've ever made.
And again, that took trusting your intuition and having the faith and the courage to follow, because you had a comfortable job that you actually enjoyed and were, it was right in your wheelhouse, and you were working at the chamber. You're still connecting people. You're still promoting people. You're still building relationships. You're still doing all the misty things that, you know, really lightens you up. But to have the courage to step out of that comfortable spot and follow through with this.
And you're going to hit on something that, because sometimes courage is, this could fail. And being okay with, I always like to use, like, instead of fail or mistake, what's the lesson? Because I have made a ton of mistakes. I've had many, many lessons in my day. And I'm thankful for those lessons. It's just like having 90% really amazing people in my life. And there's been some 10% of really shitty people in my life.
Sure.
Those 10% of people taught me just as much as these 90% of people, because it teaches you who you are. And I don't regret any of it. I don't think I would change much of my life, because it is, it makes me who I am. It makes me, I feel like I'm a very unique, genuine human. And I really do love what I bring to the table. So.
And I don't know as if I actually believe in failure. You know, one of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
It's a good one.
And Napoleon Hill says, within every setback or difficulty lies a seed of equal or greater success.
Gosh, I wish I was that good about, like, remembering my quotes. I have to write them all.
You've got your own skills and talents.
It's so cool.
My skill and talent is regurgitating other brilliant people's shit. Like, there's a lot of things that you do that I wish I were better at too. But Napoleon Hill said, within every setback or difficulty lies a seed of equal or greater success. We only fail if we believe that an unfavorable outcome is a failure. Otherwise, it's a learning opportunity. When I look back, like, where I'm at today, another perfect quote is Winston Churchill, you know, the Prime Minister of England in World War II, with bombs going off, and he's in the bunkers and he's talking about fighting in the hedgerows and stuff. And Winston Churchill said, I feel as though I'm walking with destiny, as if my whole life has been but a preparation for this moment and this challenge. Without those setbacks, without those failures, without those difficulties and those challenges, without those things that didn't turn out the way that we wanted them to, we wouldn't have been set up for that success. Our job is to look at it, no matter how it turns out, and say, this is the key to an equal or greater success. What am I meant to learn from this? Whether it's from a favorable outcome or an unfavorable outcome. Right. They also say that we learn a lot more from our failures than we do from our successes.
I would probably believe that.
It's really interesting, because that, again, goes back, ties directly, correlates to the timing of things too. Going back to my book, like, I wrote that poem at 4 o'clock in the morning in 2012. And it took me 7 years to turn it into a book. I hired one artist, paid her $1,500. 6 months later, gone, ghosted, stopped returning calls and emails, just gone. A year and a half later, found another artist. I'm like, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Gave them a half deposit. And 6 months later, or three images later, you know, the quality of their work just tanked. Every single one of those felt like a failure in the moment, but trusting the timing and the knowing that this was something that was meant to happen, and I didn't know when it was meant to happen, I just knew that it was supposed to happen, or that it would happen, is how I was able to proceed and have it turn out the way that it did. Because if I had published that very first iteration with the crummy artist or whatever, my nonprofit wouldn't be involved. 80% of the proceeds wouldn't be going to a World Empowered. Mm-hmm. It would have been subpar at best. And, you know, but I would have felt good because my book was published in the time that I wanted it to. So when it comes down to trusting timing, what advice do you have for people and how does that employ into your life?
Well, don't let yourself get in your own way. Mm. I'm going to go back to that because so many times, again, if you wait for the perfect time, it's never going to be the perfect time. You're okay. Always, you're always going to have an excuse. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do have to jump.
Sure.
There's a great Steve Harvey, Google Jump by Steve Harvey. Mm. Sometimes you have to take the time to just be like, you can think of all the reasons why you shouldn't do something, but it may just be that one reason why you should.
Sure.
If that's your kiddos, your wife, your husband, yourself, mm-hmm. you know, I need to do this for me.
Yeah.
When I bought Windsor City Lifestyle, I was scared out of my freaking mind.
I can imagine.
I was shaking. I was all the things. But I looked at Corey and I said, I am going to do this. And we are going to do this right. And I am going to take all the skills that I've been learning and we're going to do something amazing with Windsor City Lifestyle. And thankfully, all of that really did happen. So I just feel like I'm repeating myself. But it is just listening to your gut. And also, I believe in manifestation. I had a great story about manifestation.
Yeah, do tell.
Before I knew what manifestation was. So I'm in my early 20s, never been out of the country. And I go, I'm going to go get a passport. I don't know why I'm going to go get a passport, but I'm going to get a passport, right? Again, way before I got into the woo-woo and the self-help books
right.
and all the things. So I go, I'm going to go get a passport. So I go get a passport. A couple weeks later, my mom takes me. I was going through a yucky time in life. Mom takes me to Up With People.
Okay.
Up With People is an organization, is a nonprofit organization that's still around mm-hmm. to this day that travels around the world and different countries. They do community service in every city that they go into,
like the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps,
kind of, and it's not religious based. It's a little like that, but they also do a show, and the show is singing and dancing. And we go see the show. 2 hours later, I look at my mom and I was like, "I'm going to go do that." She said, "What?" And I said, "I'm going to go backstage. I'm going to go interview." And she said, "Well, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about?"
Right.
And I said, "Just stay here. I'm going to go do this." So I go in the backstage. Long story short, I travel with Up With People. And I would not have been able to do that if I wouldn't have gotten a passport. Hmm. You can't travel without a passport, right? And we're going all over the world. And just manifestation in itself, right? Like, I had failed in a relationship. Relationship. And I ended up having to come back home in my early 20s, and all of this happened because of that lesson,
that failure.
So manifestation at its finest, and I could go way into the whole manifestation thing, but
it seems like the overarching theme of this entire conversation is about being still, making time, giving space, and learning to discern and trust your intuition, mm-hmm. and having the courage to follow through with it. That correlates to timing. It correlates to relationships, that intuitive knowing, and again, making the space for it.
And I can't say strong enough that just surrounding yourself with amazing humans that build you up, don't tear you down. You do the same for them.
Yeah.
I have been a blessed human in that space.
That's because you're the go-giver. And you choose to surround yourself with quality people. You know, there's an analogy that, you know, if you put one crab in a bucket, they'll be able to climb out. You don't need a lid to keep that crab in the bucket. All you need is another crab. The moment you put two crabs in that bucket, the other crab will start climbing up, and the one at the bottom of the bucket will grab their leg and pull them down. And then they'll start climbing up, and they'll grab its leg and pull it down. You don't need a lid for a bucket. You just need a second crab. So we need to make sure that there aren't crabs in our life, that if we do have other people in our bucket, that they're the ones building the ladder, pushing us up. The rising tide raises all ships thing. And remember that we deserve to be around quality people. We deserve to elevate our relationships.
I think that's the number one thing right there, is knowing that you deserve the best. And we all deserve really good, amazing things. And unless you're surrounding yourself with the right people, you may not see it. And sometimes other people see it before you do.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to believe in other people's belief in us until our belief kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, maybe somebody out there listening might not deserve to have quality people in their life right now, but they can grow.
Yeah.
And they can choose to make a difference, and they can choose to be that go-giver. They can make that decision in a moment. They can flip on a dime and head 180 degrees in a different direction.
Yeah.
They can be that person that goes out and gives people smiles and starts making a difference and builds their self-esteem over time, that maybe they can bring value to the world, and then they maybe can have better quality relationships.
Absolutely.
No matter where a person is, they can begin where they are, and they can make a difference, and they can start to feel good about that.
Great.
What's been the biggest, most important lesson that you've learned in your life? I don't know, we've talked about a lot today. Ooh, but
biggest, most important lesson that I have. Man, we should have written these questions down so I'm not stalling.
We don't need, we've talked a lot about timing and relationships and friendships and trusting our intuition and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, you know, some of the quote unquote failures, those lessons, those setbacks or difficulties that held great treasures for you.
Well, it's not mind blowing by any stretch, but you keep going forward. Mm-hmm. You keep going.
Yep.
You fall down, you get back up. Because I have fallen many times. And a lot of people that have only known me for, like, let's just say the last 5 years, they're probably like, oh, Misty, you've had such a good life.
You've got it so together.
Yeah,
and you've got so many friends.
I haven't always had it together. And I've taken a lot of steps to make sure that I am the person that I am today. I wasn't always proud of who I was. And it took a big failure. A relationship failure, mm-hmm. that I'm not very proud of, that I finally had to forgive myself for, that put me in a situation to do a lot of self-reflection and realize that, get your shit together, Misty.
Choose the person that you want to
become.
I
don't want to be that person. And, you know, you're not my therapist, so we don't have to. But it was a failure, a lesson that got me pretty far into the icky. Mm-hmm. And I was 195 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was very, very unhappy in a very not good relationship, but not because he was a good human. We just weren't good together. And it took me looking at the staircase and just going one step at a time.
Yep.
And it was really, really, really hard. And again, getting into those situations of why you chose the way that what you chose is not a proud moment. Mm-hmm. And treating other people, because here's the one thing. Oh, it's much easier to look at other people's faults than looking in the mirror and saying, these are the things that need to change.
Yep.
It's much easier. So that's what I was doing in this relationship that I'm
talking about. Fault finding. Because
I was very mean and very ugly and very much of a person that not very many people know mm-hmm. me as anymore. And not proud moment. Mm-hmm. It was. So looking at yourself and being like, who do you want to be? Are you portraying the person that you can sit at a table and be proud of?
Would I want to be my friend?
Would I? Absolutely. Yeah. And at that point in my life, which was 20 years ago, I was not that person. I would not have wanted to be my friend. I can honestly say I am a good friend.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a good friend.
Damn straight. So How did that shift for you? What was the first step? And once you realized that you wouldn't want to be your friend, how did you start to change the person?
Well, I left the relationship.
Okay.
I got a different job.
Okay.
I started seeing a counselor again. Started working out. Started reading a lot more. Love books. Mm-hmm. Always have. And I had stopped. All different kinds of books, too. I don't just read self-help, but fun books, fiction. I love a good biography. Love a good biography. I love listening to other people's stories, which funny that now I'm in publishing because I get to tell people's stories and business stories and nonprofit stories. Yeah. And I love that piece of what we get to do. Yeah, just taking one step at a time of being proud of who I am.
Ruthless self-reflection and honest authenticity. Like you said, having the willingness to actually look in that mirror and be a spelunker of your soul.
I love your words.
Thanks. Look in the mirror and be a spelunker of your soul to discern, you know, where are the areas of opportunity for growth? Like, mm-hmm. what are the parts that I really need to shine light on and hone and polish? And, you know, maybe we need to extricate and get rid of some parts and get rid of, and grow there. Yeah. And maybe we just need to put a little spit shine and polish on other areas. But
yeah.
having the humility to have that honest self-reflection mm-hmm. and say, yeah, I didn't show up here the way that I would to.
And I am still very, very honest with myself when I'm not doing good, maybe even to a fault. However, one thing that I'm really good at is something we can't be good, just like you being able to have all those quotes in your mind. And the one thing that also that I'm good at is surrounding myself with people that I'm okay with being like, I'm really not good at technology.
Right. Me neither.
Not good. Don't want to be. I'm okay with asking about it, like bringing that person into my world and being like, hey, help me with this piece. I don't really have any interest in learning much about it. Help me.
Please.
So like surrounding, so it's just as good at, it's just as important to know what you're good at as knowing what you're not good at and making sure that you're surrounding yourself with those people that can help you with those things. So what are we doing over here, Brian? I don't know. Oh.
I just put Misty Dawkins' email address on the bottom of the screen here. I would love for people to reach out to you, whether it's, you know, advertising their business in your magazine or just talking about their experience, or do you have any promotions or anything coming up in your life that you would like to share? Best places for people to connect with you, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or what?
Yeah, please start following Windsor City Lifestyle on Instagram. You can also follow my personal page, Misty Girl. I think it's just Misty Girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it just Misty Girl? And then on Facebook, I don't do as much on Facebook as I do Instagram. However, very easy to find. I think I'm the only Misty Dawkins, Dockins. I think. So easy to find me on Facebook as well as my business page, which is Windsor City Lifestyle, is on Facebook as well. We have something really fun coming up in June that anybody and everybody is invited to. You don't even have to RSVP, but it's kicking off the Greeley Stampede,
really?
Windsor style.
Okay.
And we're doing it at Highland Meadows Grill from 6 to 8. The Wranglers are going to be there giving away tickets to the Greeley Stampede, live music. Highland Meadows Grill is one of my partners, Amanda and Mike Alt, wonderful humans, great place. They have a beautiful patio that overlooks the golf course.
Nice.
So come and join us. It's going to be a blast.
And that's what day and when again?
June. Oh, let me just make sure I'm saying the right day. I think it's June 20th, but let me just make June 23rd, I think. Hold on. Goodness. June 20th, Highland Meadows Grill in Windsor, 6 to 8. Anybody and everybody, family friendly. So bring your kiddos. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me. I hope that something that we had to share really touched people's hearts out there, and some of these lessons that we broadcast made a difference and can help build life connections and help you trust your intuition and timing. Thank you so much, Misty.
Thank you.
I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, me neither. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview. I hope there's something in there that inspired you. I hope you're feeling empowered and awed, and something spoke to your soul and resonated with your heart. If you're interested in contacting today's guest, please check the show notes, follow him on Facebook, or send him an email. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with anybody that you know that might benefit from its message. This has been BC from A World Empowered, wishing you the very best. I love you all. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.